study that we've had in this book. And we turn tonight to the warfare of the Christian. And we find there is a call to arms and that God knows nothing of a spiritual pacifist. We might want to be, but there is no such thing. And God has not called us to a picnic, nor wiener roasts, nor campouts. He's called us to a bloody warfare. And that's what the scripture talks about. And where lives get so despondent that they give up is because they've never been taught that they're called to a warfare, but that there's victory in that warfare. And that's the important thing to remember. The battles have to be fought, but the victory is won. When Jesus Christ walked out of that tomb, wearing around his waist the keys to death, hell, and the grave, he won the victory. Now, the victory is won. Satan knows that. Jesus knows that. You and I forget it. But when we recognize it, the battle still has to be fought. You have to fight the battle. You and I would be nothing without battles. That's why wherever there are any good traits in us is ever brought out, it's through the battle. That's where we develop and mature. And that's where we learn what Jesus Christ can be to us. And so I'm going to read from the 6th chapter of Ephesians, the 10th, 11th, and 12th verses. And we will use just a part of them. Then we'll go back, and Lord willing, next week, take them up and go verse by verse through it. The 6th chapter of Ephesians, the 10th, 11th, and 12th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's just briefly get the setting of these verses, and they become more startling than they are when you just read them. For in the first few chapters of the book, the apostle was talking about the Christian being in the heavenlies in Christ. And then we studied about the exhaustless wealth that was the Christians in Christ. And then that we were to walk worthily of our calling in Christ. And then we were told that it continued on to talk about the fellowship that we have with each other, and the fellowship and the joy and the peace and the harmony that there should be in the home, and the fellowship and the harmony between a master and a servant and his master. And it would seem the epistle should have ended there, but it didn't. Then Paul changes the subject totally and completely, and he walks, as it were, right out of the peace and harmony of a Christian home into a battlefield, into a warfare. Notice the words, finally, my brethren, we wrestle. Finally, my brethren, we wrestle. Now, he is picturing the Christian as facing a foe. Not whether we ask to face it or not. It is an inevitable consequence of being a Christian. If you and I know our riches in Christ and walk this earth filled with the Holy Spirit, claiming the promises that are ours, it's inevitable that we're going to enter a warfare. Because Christ has an enemy, Satan. Preacher lady, I thought Satan was my enemy. Only indirectly, his warfare is against God. And he would like to hurt you in order to hurt God. Has no interest at all in you. Satan doesn't care whether you live or die, sink or swim, rich or poor, happy or unhappy, or anything else. He would just like to move you about in order to hurt God. For he still would like to exalt himself higher than God. And so if we live as the book of Ephesians has taught us to live, filled with the Spirit, walking in the heavenlies in Christ, we're going to stir up a warfare. You're going to engage in one. Some of you were here. It's one of the first time the shows came. When we threw the gauntlet out to Satan, and we recognized the fact that any time you take a stand for God, you start a warfare. It's inevitable. And we threw out the gauntlet, and every one of us that were here and did it in with all of our hearts found ourselves in a warfare. Shortly thereafter, Satan will not give up easily. He will not turn loose easily. He will not let go until you recognize that in Christ, Satan is defeated. So notice what the Apostle Paul says. Finally, in other words, he says, I'm coming to the end of this letter. Finally, he says, my brethren, we wrestle. Now, he did not say, finally, my fellow apostles, we wrestle against Satan. He did not say, finally, my fellow prophets, we wrestle against Satan. He did not say, finally, my fellow evangelists, we wrestle against Satan. He said, finally, fellow soldiers, we wrestle against Satan. Every member of the body of Christ is involved in the warfare by the very simple means of being a part of the body. Now, whom is Satan to attack? He obviously cannot attack Jesus on the throne of heaven. For Jesus crushed Satan's head when his heel was bruised on the cross. He cannot attack Jesus. He cannot attack the head. So whom does he attack? The body. Who is the body? The believer. So you and I, as part of the body of Christ, are in the warfare. Satan will not allow us to walk through life with an easy tread, spirit-filled, enjoying all the blessings of God and never having any battles. Finally, my brethren, every Christian, every member of his body, every believer, finally, my brethren, we wrestle. And there's a whole sermon in it. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Amen. Always I have found myself, have you ever in any time, one of you touched on in a testimony, but have you ever found yourself at odds with someone that you can't get it straightened out with them? Because talking to them or having them talk to you is like trying to plaster the wall with Jell-O. And they can talk about you and say things, and when you go and try to get it straightened out, you can never put your finger on it. You can never reach out and touch it. You know what I mean. I found myself, I'm frustrated whenever that happens to me, because if I'm going to wrestle, I'd rather wrestle against flesh and blood. I'd rather wrestle against what I can see. I don't mind fighting what I can see, what I can understand. All of us are like that. But Satan doesn't fight that way. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our warfare is against the power of Satan. And we'll go to in the definition of all these terms next week. But it's Satan against whom our warfare is. Now, it's not the individual, not even those individuals for whom we're praying. We're not fighting against them. Satan may be through them fighting God, but the warfare is not against individuals. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the power of the enemy. Now, we all are called to this warfare, every Christian, because we're members of his body. I said it earlier, God has no spiritual pacifist. That means to say that you and I who like to live out our lifetime in total peace are not going to be allowed to do it. And when things are going good, enjoy them. For you're going to have a battle. It is a part of the growing in Christ. And it is inevitable. And don't think it's strange when it happens to you. It happens to everybody. Now, I'll shock some of you, and some of you will disapprove. But there are some folks connected with El Bethel who are going through a bigger battle than you ever heard of, and you don't know it. Because you don't see the tear, and they keep the smile, and they're here in their pew no matter what. The battle rages nonetheless. And some of the rest of us in El Bethel, some puny little midget of an imp comes up against us, and we just collapse. What I'm trying to say is every one of us has a battle. Every one of us, whether it's a John Svoboda who served God longer than some of you are old, or the youngest saint here, every one of us has a battle, and it never ceases. There will always be a warfare. And if there's no warfare in your life, chances are there is lack of dedication. Certainly there is no prayer life, and there's no time for the Word of God. For when you begin to pray and study the Word and dedicate your life to God, you stir Him up and you enter into a warfare. Excuse the expression, but some of us aren't worth His time. For Satan also knows to let sleeping dogs lie. Leave us alone. Don't get us stirred up. You started. You started in earnestness praying. You start in earnestness studying the word. You start in earnestness making a dedication that calls for sacrifice. And you stir up the warfare. All right, finally, my brethren, we wrestle. But now look at this other verse. And this is what all week I've been waiting to talk to you about. The 11th verse. Put on the whole armor of God. We'll talk about the armor of God in another lesson. But for what purpose? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I preached a sermon. I've preached any number of sermons on the wiles of the devil. We're not talking now about our sin, but the wiles, the schemes, the stratagems, the plans of attack that Satan has. The wiles of the devil. He has a plan. He certainly tries to box us in. He knows our weak points and our strong points. He knows where to attack us. He knows where it will hurt the most. He knows where he can do the most harm. And by and large, he knows when. He knows when you're weary. He knows when you're sick. He knows when you suffer financial losses. He knows when you're down, that's a good time to attack. He knows when you're lonely. He knows when you're blue. He knows that's a good time to come against you. But let me just throw this out, and I've said it so much you may be tired of hearing it. But sometimes we give Satan too much power. He does not have nearly as much power as he wants us to think he has. And he does not have nearly as much power as we think he has. For instance, he is not all-powerful. He's not all-knowing. He does not know everything. And he cannot know everything about you and me if we wouldn't tell him so much. That's one reason the Lord judged Israel so harshly, for grumbling and complaining. You see, if you put something in words, the devil will take your own words and bludgeon you to death with your own words. And you remember my illustration. You get up of a morning and you have a slight headache. A second cup of coffee, or for some of you, Dr. Peppers and Cokes, take it away. But that slight headache, and you go to the dining room where the spouse has fixed your breakfast. And the spouse looks at you and says, "My dear, you look bad today." And you say, "Well, I wasn't going to mention it, but I have this headache. And now that you refer to me, it is just pounding. Well, why don't you stay home from work?" "Well, I can't, because if I miss today, then I don't get paid for the fourth. So I have to go. If I go on a stretcher, I'll go." So you get to work, and your buddy at work says, "Oh, my word. You look horrible. What is wrong?" And by now, as my mother says, it is throbbing and throbbing. And you say to your friend, "I wasn't going to say a word. But I got up this morning, my head was split. It is now, it is just simply coming off." And your friend says, "You know, I had a friend. And their head hurt like that. And it was tumor. And they died. And you're sick. And you're sick." You see what happens? It's bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. That's right. A lot of little aches and pains we have get bigger and bigger and bigger because we never shut up about them. And Satan hears it, and he makes sure that it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, my favorite story, I suppose. I was in Davenport, Iowa. Not Davenport, Moline, Illinois. And in a meeting, and there's a group there that went to the old folks' home. They don't call them that anymore. Convalescent home. Every fourth Sunday. And the lady that led them that Sunday went, and this is what she said to them. She said, "I almost didn't come this month." She said, "I'm just so blue and so discouraged. I've almost quit serving the Lord." It made those old folks want to jump out of bed and shout. They felt so good. It'd been better had she not gone. You confess with your mouth that you're discouraged and despondent, and Satan will take that and beat you with it. The old fellow on the bridge, crossing the bridge in his limousine, and he sees a would-be suicide, comes to a screeching halt, and he says to the man, "You don't want to jump off this bridge?" And the man says, "You don't know my troubles." And the would-be savior said, "Tell me your troubles and maybe I can help you." And the would-be suicide told him his troubles, and when they got through, they both jumped off the bridge. That's what words can do. That's what words can do. I have a friend, he's a preacher, he pastors in the great state of Texas. In this district, not in this section, but in this district. And you know, I dread when they come to see us. And rarely will go to see them, except when I used to go hold them revivals. Because when I go, I can just be walking the Milky Way, stepping from one star to another, one foot saying glory and the other saying hallelujah. And I'm with him 5 minutes. And I wonder why they didn't invite me to God's funeral. And I wonder what I was ever happy about. And why I ever thought I had victory. I mean, from the minute he opened his mouth, from then on, it's down all the way. That's what words can do. That's what words can do. And in that kind of speech, we give Satan clues that he doesn't know if we didn't tell him. There are many a battle you can fight through and get victory over it, and Satan never know you had the battle if you didn't tell him. That's why the Bible tells us we're to let the words, let our words be seasoned with salt. That's why the scripture tells us to watch our speech. And this is not what I had planned to say. But you see, instead of talking defeat and disgruntlement and unhappiness and lack and down and down and down and down and down, always talk victory and faith. Always. Amen. Always. Always. I learned it from Sister Van Winkle, and I learned it well. Didn't learn it from a teacher in seminary or Bible college or Bible school. Didn't learn it from any great preacher, but I saw her live it. Never heard her speak one word that was not a word of faith. Never. She never went to a service that was dead. Never. Sister Sharp, she had some great preachers. She said some of the poorest pastors that ever walked the earth, it was in her heart. It was in her heart. Never saw her walk away from the service as she went, "Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord." I know one church she went to because they made good money and had everything on earth. When her daughters would walk down the aisle, the kids would turn their head and not talk to them. "Well, Sister Van Winkle," I said in my heart, "what are you going to do now?" She went right on, went to church, played the piano and sang and shouted as though everything were just right. I never heard her speak one word that was not faith. And because of that, God has honored her prayer and kept her in victory. It works. It works. It works. And so instead of mumbling and complaining, if you don't know anything else to do, get a song and sing it. And as I'm fond of saying, if you're like I am, when you sing, the devil and everybody else flees. But try. And don't get one of these new ones. They never have but one verse. I had to get an old one that has 5 or 6 verses. Sometimes it takes that long. And begin to sing it. One of them is, "And there's a country far beyond the starry sky. There's a city where there never comes a night. If we're faithful, we shall go there by and by. It's a city where the Lamb is the light." And you sing the first verse, and the second verse, and the third, and the fourth, and you have to the fifth. And by the time you've sung it through, you'll find that instead of there being defeat, you have won a victory. And Satan never knew you fought a battle. Or you get this book, and I always read it aloud. I don't know if the devil reads English. I am sure he's proficient in Hebrew and Greek, but I don't know how much of English he knows. So read it where he can hear you. "The Lord is my shepherd, what more shall I want? He anointeth my head with oil, my cup runneth over, and my saucer do. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Or in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, many abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And if I go, I shall come again. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in also in me. And before long, the victory has come. And Satan never knew you went through a battle. He doesn't know if we wouldn't tell him. That's why earlier the apostle had said, be filled with the Spirit, singing, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Now, what are the Satan's wiles? What are his devices? He comes, of course, to destroy. Always he destroys. The hireling destroys. Satan comes to destroy. Satan comes to deceive. Always he deceives. If he has to tell half truths or even the truth, he will tell it in such a way as to deceive. All that is deceptive and deception is of Satan. God does not have to deceive. God is truth. Let all else be liars, but God is truth. And Satan comes with defeat. Whatever brings defeat into your life is not of God, it's from the devil. And it's so strange that we can have been greatly blessed and then be so quickly defeated. And Satan comes to discourage. I'll guarantee you, whether it's this church or any church, let us have one of those great lifting services. And it won't be 12 hours before Satan has come and let the air out of most of us. Discouragement is of the devil. If the devil can't kill you and he can't backslide you, he tries to keep you so discouraged that you're not any good to God nor anyone else. And discouragement comes from Satan. Well, preacher lady, you don't know my problems. Would you like to hear mine? What I'm trying to tell you is every one of us, if we sat down right now and began to just think on our problems, could get discouraged. If there's nothing else, you can think of Red China. And the CIA. And the IRS, that's discouraging. God knows, that's discouraging. You know, we shouldn't be too surprised that discouragement fills the heart of believers, because every news you hear is discouraging. And the only good news that's in the world today is the good news that comes from God. There is no other good news. The Rangers, you want to be discouraged? What if you were Billy Martin? Or Jeff Bird. Satan will bring something. Oh, we pray and the answer doesn't come immediately and we get discouraged. He'll be in a bulletin in a couple of weeks, so I shouldn't tell you, but Tuesday night people get special things. When you pray, God sometimes says no, and he sometimes says yes, and he sometimes says wait, but he never says worry. You may not have had the answer in 24 hours like you thought you would, but God always is on time, and he'll bring the answer to you. Discouragement is not of God. That which brings discouragement and despondency and defeat, and that which deceives and destroys, that's the work of the enemy. And if he could, he would take you tonight and take something in your life and defeat you with that. Oh, Sister Sharp, there is bondage. Yes, but God has told us he can break every bondage. And Satan's not that original. You think he is? I'll tell you how unoriginal he is. There may be original sin, as Calvin calls it, but there are no original sinners. You tell me an original way to sin that. Tell me something new. It's all as old as Eden. Satan can't even think of a new way to sin. He told us tonight God could break any bondage Satan brings upon us, all right? Name a new bondage. People go all to pieces over dope and dope addiction. Well, my generation had alcohol. It's the same thing. Addiction is addiction. Doesn't matter what you're addicted to or by or with. It's a bondage. And the same God that can break the bondage of alcohol breaks the bondage of dope. whatever bondage there is, whatever warfare Satan brings against us, God is the master of it. He said to us here, we wrestle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We have a warfare. It's against Satan. But he would not have told us of that warfare if he hadn't been telling us of our victory. And there is victory in our God over our warfare, in every warfare. Our God causes us always to triumph in Christ Jesus. There's victory there. Sister Sharp, if I could just believe that, I would not tell you that if it were not true.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I was thinking about the ministry today. And about some friends who have pastored nearly all their adult life in one church that doesn't have an attendance more than we have now. And I thought, what on earth is he saying to them after all these years? And then I begin to think some of you will not agree. But you see, preaching, you have to live to preach. And anyone can build an outline, but it takes 20 years to make a sermon. You have to have been there. You have to have seen God bring a victory. You have to have hurt as though a knife were thrust into your heart and turned around and then have God come and bring peace and tranquility. Then you can stand and say, oh, let me tell you what God can do. You have to stand on the brink of financial despair and have God walk in and turn it all around. Then you say, I can tell you what God can do. You have to have known sickness and have him reach down in healing. Then you can stand and say, let me tell you what God can do. When I tell you that our God has victory for every warfare that you're in, I can say that because I fought a few battles, and our God always, always, always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Oh, the battle gets hot, and the enemy knows how to fight, and we can hurt, and we can cry just like anyone else. But our God gives the victory, not once, but every time he gives the victory.
Amen.
And so we wrestle tonight. We're in a warfare. We're not on a picnic. We know we're in a warfare. We're soldiers. We know that. But we know we're winners. The only way we can lose is to give up. Sister Sharp, I'm not very good at fighting. Well, just don't give up. Just hold on. Just hold on. If you can't do anything else, just hold on. Listen to me. And no great outline this, but listen to me. God fights our battles anyway. God fights the battles anyway. God brings the victory anyway. God brings the deliverance anyway. It's nothing we do except believe him. And stay true. And stay true. And stay true. And that's why that song is not great music and it's poor poetry, but why it means so much to me. Just keep walking. That's all it takes. Just keep walking. Didn't say to me, you bring victory to those who had great faith. He said, just keep walking. You put one foot in front of the other and you just keep walking. Keep walking in him and in faith in him, and he'll always cause you to triumph. Now, this word, and we close. If you're in a warfare tonight, from God's point of view, from the spiritual point of view, from heaven's point of view, you should say, oh, thank you, Lord. If you're not in a warfare, you have either been just delivered from one, or you're just going into one, or you're not worthy of one once. That's right. So sure, things just got straightened out. Oh, isn't that marvelous? And I have a feeling when all the days are in, and I stand before him who dwelleth in a light unapproachable, I'll thank him for the warfare. More than for the peace and calm day. And I couldn't have said that once. We wrestle. Of course we wrestle. And Satan is not a coward. He's not going to give up that easily. But he's defeated. What was it Roy Sapp said about him? He was zero with the rim removed. He's a phony, for he's defeated. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.